Hello, this is Lincoln reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, December 18th, 2025, starting at the top of the front page. SARDAR winners honored at reception. By Kim Raby for the Times-Republic. On December 5th, Princess Wachiquee Chapter DAR and General Joseph Bartholomew Chapter SAR hosted a reception for Iroquois County High School students at St. John Lutheran Church, Schwer. High school seniors were chosen by their respective schools for demonstrating the qualities of dependability, leadership, service, and patriotism. The reception was opened with the DAR ritual led by Nita Benner, regent, and Connie Gulquist, chaplain. Brady Persey of Clifton Central High School led the assembly in the singing of the national anthem. Award winners were introduced along with those who attended in support of them. Each winner received a certificate, pin, and an America 250 pin. SAR winners and their schools were Lily Harris of Milford, Joel Arachiga of Iroquois West, Josie Newcomb of Cisna Park, Lydia Heron of Watsika, Brady Persey of Clifton Central, and Madeline Loy of Donovan. DAR winners were Faith Bowman of Christ Lutheran, Abigail Newcomb of Watsika, Aubrey Chandler of Iroquois West, Addison Lucht of Cisna Park, Riley Behrens of Clifton Central, Caden LaFond of Donovan, and Aiden Frericks of Milford. Additionally, DAR selects one winner each year to be recognized and entered into the state scholarship program. This year's winner was Addison Lucht of Cisna Park High School. She read her essay entitled "Our American Heritage and Our Responsibility for Preserving It." Mary Burr gave an interesting talk on her experience of becoming a naturalized citizen. She was presented a flag, which had flown over the DAR Constitution Hall in her honor. And here we have lovely pictures of the winners and the celebration. Newspaper unveils sleek, reader-friendly look from staff reports. The newspaper you are holding has a distinctive new and improved look this week. In an effort to meet our readers' and advertisers' needs, we have changed our printing format to a tab newspaper. The new format is sleek, easier to read, handle, and full of color. The color capabilities have more than doubled in the tab format to create a dynamic newspaper experience. While we all tend to resist change, the new look is easier to handle, but retains all the news, features, and sports you now enjoy, complemented by more color photos of our beloved community. With the change to a tab, readers will have more pages to enjoy without losing the crossword puzzle, local news, sports, community happenings, obituaries, and advertising. Improvements to our printing press have helped make this change possible, especially with the additional color capability and page counts. The tab format will allow us to provide our advertisers more color, thereby having a dramatic impact to reach their customers. While local newspapers are under attack from faceless, nameless internet companies, we believe the investment in additional printing capabilities shows our commitment to local news and the communities we serve. People like reading tabs better than broadsheets, said Kankakee Valley Publishing Mark Hornung, publisher. They are easier to hold and easier to maneuver, which makes reading the paper much easier. We will look different, but we will not lose any of the features our readers have come to expect in their newspaper. Crescent City discusses water billing changes. From staff reports, the December 8th meeting of the Crescent City Town Board was called to order at 6:58 p.m. by Mayor Mark Raby. In the absence of Clerk Kathy Christensen, Trustee Kim Raby took roll call with the following present: Joe Bellot, Chris Morikow, Kim Raby, Steve Carley, Jim Sorensen, and Joe Martin. Also present were Treasurer Mary Carley, Park and Community Center Manager Amanda Bellot, and Building Inspector / Permit Issuer Jeff Hildenbrand. The monthly report from ERH was received. All required samples were collected and analyzed. Monthly operating reports were submitted. Equipment was serviced. The emergency generator was tested. Julie locate requests were responded to, and wells were rotated. Joe Bellot reported on the visit from an Illinois Rural Water Association representative who came to look for water leaks. The good news was there are no leaks found, and he left the village. Is right where it should be as to water usage for the number of residents. The bad news was the unmetered water the village is losing is definitely going somewhere. Bellot was advised to wait until the usage goes up and then verify. Bellot said the rep told him, "Our system is solid." More discussion took place on fire hydrants needed in the village. Minutes of the November 3rd meeting were read and approved. Mary Carley distributed her village and community center reports. Both reports were approved as presented. Amanda Bellot gave an update on the community center. In new business, Mary Carley told the board a new computer had been purchased. She then talked to the board about her thoughts and ideas on the water billing system. She worked on the costs which would incur if billing was done quarterly. Before approving this change in the water bills, trustees said they would speak to residents in their areas to get an idea of what is preferred. No decision was made as to changing the billing times. Kim Raby gave a report on the Santa visit in November and secured the date for the community center in 2026 with Amanda Bellot. There were about 35 drawing prizes awarded, and there were a few to hold on to for next year. She presented the meeting dates for 2026, and they will be distributed to members at the January meeting. Several meetings will take place the second Monday of the month due to Treasury reports not being available on the first of the month. Bills were approved for payment. Motion to adjourn came at 8:18 p.m. The next meeting will be at 7 p.m. at City Hall on Monday, January 5th. Christmas Tree Lane open. Special display in honor of Mala by Kim Raby for the Times Republic. The Old Courthouse Museum had its open house for Christmas Tree Lane and Christmas House Gallery December 7th from 1 to 4 p.m. Voting for your favorite trees and houses began that day. The museum is located at 103 West Cherry, Watsika. Visitors are encouraged to come see the beautiful Christmas trees and handcrafted Christmas houses. There are several trees throughout the first and second floors of the museum. This year's theme is Christmas Memories. Of special interest is the display set up just past the entry door in honor of Mala. Mala Comfort Dog. Back in 2015, members of Our Savior Lutheran Church, Milford, had a presentation of the Lutheran Church Charities Comfort Dog Ministry. The LLC, based in Northbrook, brought two canine comfort dogs and explained their purpose. Pastor Carl Gibbs and several members felt this would be a wonderful ministry for Iroquois County, since a dog is the perfect bridge to interact with people. Mala came to Iroquois County in 2017 and helped tell about the mercy, compassion, presence, and proclamation of Jesus Christ to those who were suffering and in need. Mala served Iroquois County 8.5 years, and during her time, she had several handlers. Those who took her to area nursing homes for visits, to area libraries, to give presentations about the ministry to various organizations, to attend funeral visitations, and to many schools. Her handlers over this period of time were Pastor Carl Gibbs, Al Kellerhals, Dennis and Sheila Selk, Diane Goldenstein, Diane Costello, Dean and Jane Henricks, Susan Yergler, Brandon Legan, Judy Danforth, Carrie Kimmel, and Pastor Doug Minton. Additionally, ministry partners Renee Minton, Trudy Bell, Rod Yergler, Brent Danforth, Bob and Chris Reaches, Sandy Stuckwish, Brenna Johnson, Margot Legan, Melissa Storm, Kathy Findley, Craig Bell, and Beth Cabe. According to Jane Henricks, Mala's favorite visits were routine school visits. Children got down on her level and loved on her so much, and she gave that love right back. Mala seemed to have a built-in sense of knowing who needed her most. We saw many times how she was drawn to the people in the room who were sad or grieving. The visits that were tragedies at school were very difficult. Henricks explained, taking on so much grief and sadness from children and staff is very hard on these comfort dogs. As handlers and caregivers, we are to watch for signs of stress. Mala would get a couple of days off after grief visits. Mala's main caregivers were Jane and her husband, Dean. She lived with us, and we tried to keep her in good physical condition for her long days of serving, Jane said. Susan and Rod Yergler took care of Mala when we were gone. Lynn Love of Love's Dog Grooming graciously groomed Mala every month for 8 years for free. We are so very thankful for her selfless service. Mala was known far and wide, as her service areas included Iroquois, Vermilion, Ford, and Kankakee counties in Illinois, as well as Newton and Tippecanoe counties in Indiana. She was sent on deployments for national tragedies 4 times, to Florida for the Pulse nightclub shooting, to Las Vegas to the Route 91 music festival shooting in October 2017, to the Parkland, Florida school shooting in February 2018, and to the Santa Fe, Texas shooting in May of 2018. While Our Savior Church in Milford was her sponsor, her handlers were from several area churches. She became a fixture at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Woodworth, Calvary Lutheran Church in Watseka, Trinity Lutheran Church in Goodland, Indiana, Trinity Lutheran Church in Cisna Park, and Trinity Churches in Ashcombe and Watseka. Mala, as a dog, was very independent. She likes to be in charge and had her ways of showing it, Hendricks said. When Mala had her working comfort dog vest on, she knew it was time to be calm, but when that vest came off at her home, she was all dog, running, rolling, jumping. She was such a joy. Mala's display will remain until after the first of the year. The museum is open 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, but due to the holidays, you should call first to see if the museum will be open. The telephone number is 815-432-2215. Now to obituaries. Dorothy Irene Nackey, age 96, passed away on December 10th, 2025, at her home in Milford, Illinois. She was born on March 15th, 1929, in Chabans, Illinois, a daughter of Hugo and Anna Horn Haas. Dorothy married Everett R. Nackey in Chabans, Illinois, on July 10, 1949, and he preceded her in death on November 26, 2006. Dorothy had worked in the medical field as a nurse's aide over many years. She was also very active in her church as a church secretary and various organizations such as Dorcas, Couples Club, Quilting Group, and fundraising activities for the local Thrivent chapter. She loved and supported her family and shared her strong faith with them. She was filled with joy through singing and playing Christian hymns. Dorothy was an inspiration to her family and friends, through her courage to always try new challenges and adventures. She took violin lessons at age 70. Rode in a hot air balloon, and traveled to Alaska, Hawaii, and New York, to name a few. She was an avid reader, loved playing cards, and frequently walked the neighborhood to stay fit throughout her adult life. She had a great sense of humor, which she loved to bring to others through her joke-telling. She was well known for her baked pies, cinnamon rolls, and other goods. Dorothy is survived by her five children, James, Cheryl, Nackey, and Cynthia Morrow of Milford, Kathy Michael Perkins of Green Valley, Arizona, Jeanette Tommaso Grimaldi of Dewey, Arizona, and Judy Tom McCann of Watsika. Nine grandchildren, Carrie Randy Hawk, Jennifer Craig Van Hoven, Jessica Stephen Frericks, Eric Natalie Dalton, Kelly Brett Hull, Wade Megan McCann, Emily Caleb Parker, Anthony Jessica Morrow, and Alex Morrow. 17 great-grandchildren, 5 great-great-grandchildren, 1 sister, Helen Mike Meets of Clifton, Illinois, 3 sisters-in-law, Helen Bell of Watsika, Ellen Haas of Pataskala, Ohio, and Marion Herleman of Gilbert, Arizona, and many nieces and nephews. She was preceded in death by her parents, 2 sisters, 2 brothers, 5 sisters-in-law, 8 brothers-in-law, a son, Charles, and 2 grandchildren, Andrea Franklin and Timothy Dalton. Funeral services will be held on Monday, December 15, 2025, at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Milford, Illinois, at 11 a.m., with Reverend Doug Minton officiating. Visitation will be held from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. at the church prior to the funeral. Burial will follow the funeral in the Trinity Lutheran Cemetery near Cisna Park. Dorothy was often known to claim that each one of her children was her favorite on any given day. You could get a brilliant smile from her by telling her to rub dirt in it and walk it off. Memorials may be made to Our Savior Lutheran Church Radio Ministry. please also please share a memory of Dorothy at www.napfuneralhomes.com. David Scott Watts, 63, of Watsika, passed away on Saturday, December 13, 2025, at his home in Watsika. He was born on September 13, 1962, in Newport News, Virginia. He was the son of Thomas and Judith Young Watts, and they preceded him in death. Scott married Julie Jenkins on February 16, 1985, in Odin, Illinois. She survives. Also surviving are two sons, David Scott, Allie Watts Jr. of Lorena, Texas, and Drew Aaron Watts of Watsika. One daughter, Lauren Watts, Austin Mao of Pillager, Minnesota. Eight grandchildren, Addison Wyatt Tripp and Amelia Watts, Fletcher and Jay Watts, Leah Mao and Baby Mao, arriving in May 2026, and one sister, Sherry Watts of Chicago. Scott was actively involved in the community. He was serving as co-chairman of the Iroquois County Board and member of the American Legion. He served on the Unit 9 School Board for 16 years, including a term as president. Scott was a member of Calvary Lutheran Church in Watsika. He graduated from Parks College of St. Louis University and served in the United States Air Force before a 31-year career as a pilot for American Airlines. Scott loved the Chicago Cubs and the friendly confines. He loved attending the Indianapolis 500, spending afternoons at Shawmee Country Club, traveling to Puerto Vallarta, and enjoying time on his land outside of Watsika. Visitation will be on Thursday, December 18th, 2025, from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Funeral service at the Calvary Lutheran Church in Watsika. Burial will be at 2 p.m. in the Belmont Cemetery near Watsika, with graveside military rites by the Watsika American Legion Post 23. Memorials may be made to the Calvary Lutheran Church in Watsika or to the Wounded Warrior Project. IDPH releases first ever report on alcohol use in Illinois. Dateline Springfield. The Illinois Department of Public Health, IDPH, has issued its first-ever comprehensive report on how alcohol is used and sometimes misused by Illinois residents. According to information from the department, the report, entitled Alcohol Use in Illinois, collects and analyzes data from multiple sources, including IDPH's own Illinois Behavioral Risk Factors Surveillance Survey, BRFSS, and Illinois Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance Survey, YBRS. Data from the report can be used by state and local health officials to develop targeted programs and interventions to address health-related concerns linked to alcohol use. This report provides the most detailed picture to date of how alcohol use and misuse affect the health and safety of Illinois residents, said IDPH Director Dr. Samir Vora. By leveraging this data, public health professionals and community partners can develop targeted, evidence-based programs to reduce alcohol-related harms and promote healthier behaviors. This report serves as a critical foundation for a more informed, coordinated response to the growing public health challenges posed by alcohol misuse across Illinois. Key takeaways from the report include: nearly 23% of Illinois high schoolers reported consuming at least one alcoholic beverage in the past 30 days, while more than 11% acknowledged binge drinking defined as consuming four or more drinks within a couple of hours for females, five or more for males. Among high schoolers, females were more likely to acknowledge both drinking and binge drinking than males. Drinking was reported by more than 28% of females and 17% of males, while binge drinking was reported by 15% of females and 8% of males. Among adults, 57% of respondents said they had consumed at least one alcoholic beverage in the past 30 days, while more than 18% acknowledged binge drinking within that same time frame. Binge drinking was more common among younger adults. 25% of the 18 to 24 age group and 26.5% of those aged 25 to 44. While among teens, females were more likely to acknowledge drinking and binge drinking, the reverse was true among adults. For males, nearly 62% reported drinking in the past 30 days, and nearly 24% reported binge drinking, while for females, the percentages were 50% and nearly 13%, respectively. Both alcohol consumption and binge drinking rates increased as income levels increased. For Illinoisans making more than $75,000 a year, 69% reported drinking in the last 30 days, while over 22% reported binge drinking. For those making less than $15,000 a year, the rates were 35% and 16%. LGBTQ plus individuals were more likely to report binge drinking in the past 30 days, nearly 23%, than heterosexual persons, 17%. The percentage of people killed in motor vehicle crashes where the driver had alcohol in their bloodstream has risen since 2019. In 2022, the most recent year cited in the report, 37% of fatal crashes involved a driver with a blood alcohol concentration, BAC, of at least 0.01. 5% involved BAC between 0.01 and 0.07, and 32% involved a driver with a BAC of 0.08 or higher, the legal limit for driving under the influence in Illinois. That total is up from 33% in 2019. From 2020 to 2023, more than 2,300 deaths statewide were from causes directly attributable to chronic alcohol use, such as alcoholic liver disease and alcohol dependency syndrome. More than 2,000 additional deaths were from causes indirectly associated with chronic alcohol use, including hypertension, coronary heart disease, and liver cancer. Deaths from alcohol-related liver disease varied widely by region, with the Peoria region, West Central Illinois, having the highest rate at 5.2 deaths per 100,000 people, more than double the lowest rate in the Westchester region, Greater Chicago area, which had 2.3 deaths per 100,000 people. Data for the report comes from a number of sources, including the 2021 Illinois Youth Risk Behavioral Survey. This has been Lincoln reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, December 18th, 2025. Have a fabulous day.